Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Ding, ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I am Dave DeFore, joined as I am once a week again this season by my man, Trevon Edwards. What's up, Trey?
What's going on, Dave?
Hey, our curse continues. We got a big blowout in the late game, and we'll get to that later. But first, Trey, we got to start with your boys, the Chicago Bulls. They're 4-0, Trey. They're the first team to four wins in the league, getting the victory over the Toronto Raptors, 111-108, on the back of DeMar DeRozan's 26 points. Man, DeMar is just working out fantastically for them so far, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people thought that this move wasn't going to be good, and you know that the Bulls would be the same old Bulls. They wouldn't defend, and they were going to struggle. And a lot of people are saying that they haven't played anybody, but they've made a tremendous leap of where they were two seasons ago. You know, I feel like their only weakness right now is rebounding.
Yeah, they were out-rebounded in this game by 20 rebounds, and they gave up 14 offensive rebounds to the Raptors. Now, the Raptors' defense was really, really tough, and I thought Chicago did a good job of not getting too bogged down. Zach LaVine had 22 points, 17 from Vooch. Lonzo Ball drops in 15. But Chicago has really impressed me with their defensive intensity. I thought that they were excellent at disrupting the Raptors and what they were trying to do. Created 19 turnovers in this game. Big deal.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty active. I think it's a credit to them. They have a lot of hustle getting the 50-50 balls and being active and, you know what I mean, getting these strips, loose ball things to create fast break points. And then it's also like, you know, although DeMar is, you know, scoring on the other end, Zach LaVine is just playing exceptional basketball coming off the Olympics. And I think that, you know, him getting a chance to experience winning basketball as a professional basketball player has been very effective going into the locker room with Chicago and being a leader. And this is the first time he's ever won four games in a row in his pro career.
That's an amazing, that doesn't feel real, right? That's a pretty ridiculous stat, especially for a guy. It's not like he plays in Oklahoma City. You know, a team that's been tanking for the last few years. The Bulls have tried to win games. And, you know, it's funny that people are coming around on LaVine now that he has good players around him. It's funny how that worked, Trey. Where do you see this team? Like, what is their ceiling? Like, we don't know what they are yet. And as you mentioned, you know, it's very easy to say they haven't played anyone yet. But, I mean, this team does look like it's better than we expected, right?
Yeah, I mean, their ceiling would be injury riddled season, third in the East. But if everything is just kind of normal, what it is, I got them at fifth in the East.
So you think that this is going to be the five seed, and what we're seeing is pretty real?
Yeah, yeah. I think that, you know, of course they're not going to just go 82-0, but they're going to win some ball games, you know. And I think that it's just the intensity, you know, how Billy Donovan has them playing. Obviously, they're not really deep. They don't play a bunch of guys. But sooner or later, I think that they're going to, you know, starting to crack the rotation and find the right guys to get out there and compete. And those games that they would normally lose, that they're going to end up on top with a victory.
One of the early games, we got another overtime game featuring the Boston Celtics. And Trey, this game was a lot of fun. The Celtics beat the Hornets 140-129, both teams on the second night of a back-to-back. No Terry Rozier, no P.J. Washington for the Hornets. And Trey, like, they had no gas in overtime. They looked exhausted. The mistakes started to compound. And you know, Boston got a lot of tough shots made by Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, 41 and 30 respectively for those guys. It was just too much for the Hornets in overtime.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, I mean, that just goes off of experience, though. Those guys are kind of even keel. They displayed some resiliency in New York the other last week, you know, through the double overtime, and they're battle tested. I mean, you know, they're gonna have some growing pains. They got a new coach, they got a new roster, you know, added some guys, but I will say the Charlotte Hornets are very fun to watch. And as you mentioned, a couple guys were out, so LaMelo Ball and them, they're, you know, they led majority of the game, but costly mistakes at the end. And you would think that this is where Gordon Hayward's expertise comes in to be the veteran, but I still think that they're missing that particular player, you know what I mean, to close it out. So, you know, it's unfortunate that they lost that game. That was a very winnable ball game. And allowing it to go to overtime just kind of really much, pretty much allow Boston to kind of take over, especially Jason Tatum's performance.
Yeah, you're right. And second night of a back-to-back for the Hornets, being shorthanded, not having Rozier, not having P.J. Washington, you just can't let those games get out of hand, get into overtime, especially because, like you said, they had it in hand. I thought this game was a wrap. And I actually switched over to Nuggets-Cavs, I think. And I had to go back because Boston came back in this game, and you know, you go digging through the tape, and it's like, wow, Rob Williams had a good game. Dennis Schroeder
had a
great overtime. And you can just see as the game progressed, Charlotte just didn't have the juice. And you mentioned Gordon Hayward kind of had a rough start in this game, but I thought came on late, did some stuff for them. You know, he's been a guy who already is hitting that mid-ranger for them when they need a bucket. A lot of shots at that free throw line that have been wide open, but you were right. It wasn't enough tonight. 15 points from him, 5 of 12 overall. What I really didn't like, honestly, from him, 3 assists. I think they need him more, Trey, especially late in games, as a playmaker, because as good as LaMelo Ball is, I do think when you have a lead, his tendency to be a risk taker needs to be reined in just a little bit. This would have been a good time, I think, for maybe a little bit more Gordon Hayward-led offense. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, but also, if Terry Rozier's out there, he's closing it. I mean, you know, that he's going to be the aggressor. He's going to make the right plays. And I think he was sorely missed today. You know what I mean? Even though they led majority of the game and looked like they had it, he comes in and he's fearless and he's making sure that, you know, they finish with this ball game, you know. So tough one to lose, but, you know, it's just treated as growing pains.
And the late game, this was supposed to be the marquee matchup. And Trey, you and I, we were excited about this game. We thought we were going to get a good one. But our curse continues. And the Clippers just dominated the Blazers in this one. And it was really the Blazers emptied their bench about 10 minutes into the four, or 10 minutes left in the game, I think. But it was over about halfway through the third. The Clippers just put it on them. That defense has just been phenomenal. And at the point of attack, I thought they made Damian Lillard's life miserable tonight, Trey.
Yeah, Paul George, you know, he's sad. Like, I don't know if it's a career high, but he had 8 steals. Like that's not a normal performance on the defensive end. You know, he was very active, and you know they showed up. You know, I definitely had chose this game as game of the night due to the history of, you know, Paul George and Damian Lillard, and they would, you know, I figured that they would compete and things of that nature. But you know, Dame continues to struggle, and you know, I talked to a source close to Dame, and he's not hurt. He's just struggling. And I mean, it's not new because he struggled in the past as far as, you know, shooting woes early in the season. But CJ McCollum is great for them right now. Like, he's, I don't know if he's raising his value or what, but he's shooting the ball tremendously well and, you know, and doing what he needs to do. But right now, you know, Damian Lillard being 2-for-24 from the three is not a good sign early on.
Yeah, you mentioned McCollum. He had 20 in this game, 4-of-11 from three. He came into the game, he was top four in scoring in the NBA, and he's been shooting the three ball really well. You mentioned Dame struggling a little bit, but I want to talk about the Clippers defense. You know, if you can force 30 turnovers on an opponent, that's doing something. I mean, yes, your opponent is a willful participant at that point. When you've got the wings that the Clippers have and the ability to blitz and the ability to play big with Zubac, you just have so much defensive versatility and flexibility. And this is what we have kind of grown to expect from this Clippers team. And we saw it against Utah in the playoffs last year. Have we all just been too low collectively on the ceiling of the Clippers minus Kawhi? And maybe their defense is so good that they can actually be better than we expect, Trey?
I think their preparation is going to be even better because now they have to focus. They have to, you know, obviously people forget how good Paul George is. You know, everyone had their jokes about the bubble. Everyone, you know, likes to, you know, pick at him sometimes, you know, when he gets eliminated from the playoffs, but he's still one of the best scorers in the game. One of the best two-way players, actually. You know, he was a MVP candidate a few years ago, and now with him being, you know, a first option and knowing what it takes to get where he wants to be with this team, he's stepped up and become a leader and, you know, more so owned in as far as their focus and their preparation. You know what I mean? Like, he's had some solid games, you know, offensively, and here, if the Clippers continue to play defense, like, I mean, maybe they're better than a play-in team that I actually had them. You know what I mean? Like, I think that maybe they're a six seed. Who knows? But they're competing. It's early on, and, you know, having a victory like this, I mean, it has to be a good confidence booster for them.
As we wrap up here quickly, how bad does it have to get for Portland before we start seeing them make a move? I mean, you know, we know that CJ McCollum for Ben Simmons has been on the table and has kind of been rumored. Are we going to see the Blazers get desperate?
Well, I think it'll be watched closely, especially these first 10 games. I mean, I think normally the gauge is 2-8. You know, if you're 2-8, it's kind of like, you know, you're going to be playing from behind for most of the season after that, trying to make up for those first 10. And I think they're going to be all right, but it just kind of depends. You know, like I said, CJ McCollum's still playing well offensively. He's on pace to have one of his best, you know, offensive years. And I think that's where the GM is going to have to look and see what's best for this organization moving forward, because, you know, this is not all on Chauncey Billups. Like, he can't go out there and play defense for them. He can't execute for them. And also, this isn't their worst game they've played. A Terry Stotts coach game, they had 29 turnovers before as well. So this all goes into focus and effort. And, you know, Nurkic hasn't been playing well. I mean, you can kind of go down the line, but, you know, the bright spots are Simons and Little have been stepping up for them and, you know, looking pretty good.
Yeah, it's going to be a long season if things don't turn around quickly, though, because I don't know if you looked around the league, Trey, but a lot of really good teams right now. That's going to do it for the Daily Ding, folks. Don't forget about all the other shows we got across the Athletic Podcast Network. Don't forget, tampering coming up next on the Athletic NBA Show. For Trey, I'm Dave. You guys have a great day. Trey, take us away.
Ding, ding.